This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the July 27th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. So today, for your benefit, we have Dr. Ray Kirk for a general discussion on thrift savings account, flexible spending accounts, etc. Ray and I have worked together for an awful long time with NITP. Ray is a retired Fed from OPM. So good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing this today?
Everything's good so far, and I can't see that it is going to do anything but get better. So we've got changes within the tax law, changes within decisions people might make to withdraw money from the thrift and or an IRA.
Just like to quickly shift gears today, but there is one important announcement that OPM just made at the beginning of July that I want to highlight to people, is that normally in a flexible spending account you make during the open season in the fall, you decide how much you're going to put into flexible spending account, and you're locked in unless you have some very narrow circumstances that change. But OPM just announced that as a 60-day period, which began July 1st, so it runs until August 29th, someone can make changes to the amounts that they're putting in their flexible spending account, either a health care or a dependent care flexible spending account. There's a 60-day window to make changes. So if during the your child care expenses have changed, and you have a dependent care account, or you've had additional medical expenses, they say, it would be nice to have more money in my flexible spending account, then you can increase the amount in the flexible spending account. So this is, not the typical situation. It's a specific, but you don't need it. While the motivating thing for making the change was all the disruption in the economy and people's personal planning due to COVID, you don't need a COVID-related reason. Like you had mentioned earlier about you have to be a qualified person. There is no subset of people. Everybody participating in flexible spending account has a 60-day period to make changes in the amount that they're having withheld to put in their flexible spending account.
And this would also then, I would say, people that didn't have a flexible spending account might find it more of a reason to start a flexible spending account.
Now, you have to have been enrolled. You can make a change, but you can't newly enroll during the 60-day period.
Okay.
So this is only to change the amounts that are being withheld. But that brings up a good point. People might realize that we're not enrolled, that maybe that would have been a good idea. And so in the open season this fall, they might look forward to 2021 and say, well, maybe if I had a flexible spending account, I could have covered some of those expenses.
Okay, and so a flexible spending account, we put money in it, correct? Do we get a tax deduction when it goes in?
That's right. You put the money in on a pre-tax basis, and then you get to spend 100% of the money. And in contrast to what you were just describing with TSP, where the government eventually gets their tax money, they never collect that tax money. So you just, you're not deferring the taxes. You just don't have the tax obligation on the money you put in a flexible spending account.
Now, you teach the benefit side of the retirement seminars, mid-career seminars, et cetera. And it's not all just tax necessarily, but it's opportunities with regards to distributions from the thrift as well as IRAs. So when you're doing the class, again, we're doing it online with a headset and people listening, but they can email questions in. Do you find a commonality to some of the questions regarding what we're going to talk about today, distribution options?
Well, there's a lot of confusion about distribution options, particularly since the thrift plan changed the rules dramatically a year ago. But just kind of before we get to that, to give some kind of context to it, I try to emphasize in class, because a lot of people just don't realize the key role that the thrift plan plays in the overall FERS retirement design. Now, when Congress designed the FERS program, it had three components, and they were all significant. People tend to think about the FERS retirement system and just focus on the annuity that OPM pays. Kind of in the plan design, it was Congress was taking into account that people are going to get the annuity, they're going to get Social Security, and they're going to get the thrift plan. And in fact, for a substantial number of federal FERS retirees, their thrift plan is the major component of their retirement income. And people just don't seem to be aware of that. And it also kind of becomes the most complicated part because a FERS employee has to start making decisions about the TSP plan effectively on day one as being a federal employee. But throughout, while they're working, they have to decide, how much am I going to contribute to the thrift plan, and how am I going to manage that those contributions? And once they retire, they have to continue managing the thrift plan, and now their focus shifts on how they get the money out, how they, the withdrawal options, which is what we're going to talk about primarily today. But it's, you know, that's a challenge throughout someone's federal career. And unfortunately, I think a lot of federal employees don't start facing up to that challenge until they some cases, so they take one of our seminars now, webinars, to make them aware of just what a key role that plays.
Yeah, I've found in the early stages of doing the seminars that some people were unaware of what they could do with the thrift. I don't think that's necessarily the case today, but if we just looked at somebody going into the federal government, they might be young and say, listen, I'll catch up later. I've got student debt. I don't have student debt, marriage, house, whatever. And not that I'm a financial planner. I'm a tax type that understands financial planning. I said, put something in, because the longer you put it off, the further you get behind. A lot of, you know, early entry to the work world, they can't afford necessarily to put the full amount in, but they should learn to stretch. If there's anything they need to stretch on, it's something that gives you 100% rate of return for the first X percent of the money you put in. And they go, really? And you can't go back and make it up if you didn't do it at the get-go.
Right, getting that the government match, as you said, it's for the first 5% you contribute, you're getting an immediate return of virtually doubling your money, and then that's what you earn subsequent earnings on. I mean, as you say, it's a big leg up, and you never can recover that lost government match.
No, you can't, and the well is the growth with it. So you put the money in, you get the government match, and depending on where you invest it, some choices to invest have a better rate of return, if you will, than others. It's not to say that the others are bad, but with regards to where you can put your money without getting too deep into it, one of them is the quote stock market. It's just not any stock, but it's the stock market. And people, the younger folks might say, well, that could be risky. Some mid-career and older folks might say that's risky. I don't know that it's risky, but it has risk. Risk is a harsh sounding term. In other words, it's not guaranteed. Whereas if you bought a certificate of deposit inside of an IRA, you're guaranteed to get a certain interest rate. That's not necessarily the case here, unless you look at the G fund. It's guaranteed to pay you something. But depending on your age, and I know this is a pet issue with Ray, to get people to enroll early and put in often, because the time value of money, neither one of us are financial planners, but I think we understand the money dynamics of go early and go often.
Right, absolutely. And then people participated in it, and when it gets, again, something comes up in the seminars and webinars, is people are sometimes surprised that they can continue to leave their money in TSP when they retire. They think there's some kind of requirement. They have to take the money out. They have to start making decisions as soon as they retire. I think some of that was in the past was fueled by financial planners who saw these federal employees with hundreds of thousands of dollars and said, gee, I'd like to help them out and making some investment choices. And the Thrift Board about 5 or 6 years ago kind of actively tried to to provide additional information to federal employees that, no, you can essentially pause when you retire. You can't contribute anymore, but you can leave your money in the account. You can continue to manage it. And, in fact, you could even roll money in from other retirement savings accounts if you want to consolidate your accounts.
Yeah, that's good, too, because I get the same questions, although I'm a tax type more than a financial type. And I go, listen, you can put your foot in the water, but you don't have to jump in the water. So you could decide to put in a small amount or a medium amount, and you could increase it or you could decrease it as time goes on. But decreasing it, unless you've got a better place to put it, which might be somewhat hard to do with regards to the dynamics of the thrift, you can't make up for that.
Right.
So yeah. When you teach the benefits and I teach the tax section, and there's some parallel there, but you're introducing people to thrift opportunities from the first day of the seminar. What do you find somewhat, I won't say surprising because it's a harsh term with what I'm going to say, you're surprised that maybe somebody isn't aware of something with regard to the thrift? I'm not saying somebody, it might be half the class. I didn't know you could do that.
Well, I'm surprised, though, over the years, as I've been in the federal benefits business for more than 40 years, kind of scary to say that, but the people are surprised that there's actually the government match. It's somehow, you know, the things that, I guess, you live in the benefits world and you just say, well, how can people not know that? Well, you know, I think I've learned that you can't be surprised by what they don't know. But people are pleasantly surprised that they actually get a matching on their first 5% that they contribute. That's as we've talked about, it kind of gives you, well, literally doubling your money. It gives you that extra jump. And then the subsequent earnings on that.
A good point. By the time I get to this seminar, you know, people come up at the break or after class and go, how do you know all that stuff? And I go, well, that's all I do. And I'm sure that if I asked them to explain what they did on the job, I wouldn't understand. But that we live in a world of specialization and financial education. Sometimes people, well, I'll do that later. If there's one thing probably you don't want to do with finances, it's kick the can down the road too long because it's real hard to get back in and put the kind of money in versus what you would lose. And again, with the thrift, there's mandatory, what's that? Well, I forget the percentage, mandatory amount that goes in whether you want it or not.
Right, you get 1% automatically, and then you get the chance to manage that. And again, that's another thing that people are unaware of, that even if they were to ignore the thrift savings plan, which, again, I'd preface it by saying I'm not a financial planner, but I would say that's a really big mistake to ignore the thrift savings plan. But if you choose to do that, the government's still going to contribute 1% of your salary. You know, the lifetime amount of that is a non-trivial number.
Yeah, sometimes I think, to be frank, years ago when I just started out of school, the time value money, I thought I understood, but then, again, it was from a tax perspective. But then I realized, well, it's just not tax-oriented. There are things you can do that don't particularly give you a tax benefit up front, but it's got a future tax deferral, stocks, mutual funds.
Right.
Et cetera. And that's, you know, that's another subject. But you're very conversant on that because one of your passions is financial literacy, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Trying to get people to understand those concepts at a young age.
All righty. So Andrew says it's time for you all to take a break. So let's take a break and we'll listen to what the sponsor of this show, WEPA, can do for the listeners.
You have life insurance to protect the people you love. As a civilian federal employee, you have two choices designed specifically for you, WEPA and Fegley. The big difference? Price. Chances are WEPA premiums will cost you less. In fact, the average WEPA member saves $375 per year on premiums. Prioritize your peace of mind with a life insurance policy designed for feds by feds. If you're a civilian federal employee interested in comparing WAEPA to Fegley, visit waepa.org today. WAEPA is a proud sponsor of 4-Year Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. WAEPA has been insuring the future of federal workers for more than 75 years. See why over 46,000 feds have already switched to WAEPA at waepa.org.
Okay, welcome back to 4-Year Benefit. We're here with Dr. Ray Kirk, Ph.D., and we're talking about the Thrift Savings Plan. And again, if you're just tuning in, Ray also has an outstanding handle on financial planning. So we were talking at the beginning about, you know, how the thrift would be your best possibly place to put money in sooner rather than later when you join the federal sector. If you haven't and it's mid-career, it's never too late. And we talked about that. Now, once the money gets in there, remember, when it goes in, you get a tax benefit. When it comes back out, then you pay the tax for the most part. So when it comes back out, Ray, this is a discussion in and of itself, but I guess the 1,000-mile view of it is you don't have to do anything as far as taking it out until you hit 55, depending on the thrift, or 59 and a half, an IRA, with regards to taking out without concern for a penalty, ignoring some of the special rules during the pandemic. Do folks, when you talk about that, and again, you're talking mid-career, late early career, and pre-retirement, what do you find sometimes with regards to the distributions that they might not be aware of? Probably show in and of itself, but what surprises you?
Well, there's a lot of surprise these days because, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, the rules have changed dramatically in the last year, where you used to have very restricted conditions to get your money out. You started to get your money out and scheduled payments, and you had very limited flexibility in making changes to that. And if you're getting scheduled payments, say $1,500 a month, and you suddenly had a need for $10,000, you didn't have very much flexibility to do that. You could take a lump sum one time, and then the next time you needed a big lump sum of money, you had to close out your account. Well, that all changed, and now the thrift plan does have a great deal of flexibility. You could be getting regular installment payments, and you get those on a monthly, quarterly, or annually. So you tell the thrift board, I want $1,500 a month, or I want $10,000 every 3 months. And they'll just put that money in your bank account on that schedule. And then if you decide to change that amount, say, well, that's not meeting my needs, or that's too much money, you could change the amount that you're getting on the regular scheduled payments. Or if you have scheduled payments and suddenly your house needs a new roof, or you need a new car, or you just decide you want a new car, that is, you can then take a one-time withdrawal of whatever amount you want and then have the flexibility to do that. In fact, under the new rules, you can take a one-time withdrawal every month. You know, so you could just, instead of having regular payments, you could just say, well, kind of as I have budget shortfalls or I get that big credit card bill, I'm going to get a withdrawal from TSP and to cover the bill. So they've added a great deal of flexibility to the program to allow it to people to move their withdrawals up and down to meet their needs.
Well, talking about meeting their needs with regards to COVID-19 issues, the Thrift Board came out and reduced some of the things that were not in everybody's best interest. If they needed to take the money out, one, they'd have to pay tax on it, or two, they would also have to pay a penalty based on their age. But in response to people's need for money, they waived some issues. One of the ones was in 2020, something called an RMD requirement was waived. Now, what is an RMD? Required minimum distribution. Now, there's generally somebody that's not young, so they're required to do it at 70 and a half, but that would be waived for 2020. And then somebody might say, well, if I take money out, whether it's required minimum distribution or I just want to take it out, the true issue is I'm going to have to pay regular income tax on it if it's a, quote, traditional thrift versus a Roth. If you ever see Roth in front of the name, that means, generally speaking, when the money comes out, there is no tax. So you go, really, let's not talk about Roth only. Let's talk about the distribution option, waiver of some impediments that were there before. First, this money, if you're going to avail yourself of this special rule, this money's got to be distributed by December 15th at the end of this year. And so it's a one-time only, then it's up to $100,000. And again, the penalty is waived. So when you talk in class, do you find people going, really? Now, this is no incentive to take the money out. If you want to take it out, only if you need it.
If people, again, they're surprised because particularly these days with so many people working from home, the normal flow of information, I'm sure agency HR offices are forwarding OTM's guidance and sending information out to people. But it's hard to, I'm projecting here, but I think it's hard to get the focus of employees on email that's coming at in the course of their day on, well, here's another change to TSP plan. And people just, I'm sure, it just rolls right over them. Whereas if people were actually on site, there might be some more, I'll say drama, but some more focus on announcements about changes in the HR world. I don't think that's the highest thing on people's priorities these days, to track the changes that the HR people are issuing. So I think people are missing that availability, that they can make withdrawals without those penalties under circumstances that the normal penalties that would be in effect.
And those penalties are pretty stiff besides the tax, be the tax plus a 10% penalty if you're taking money out before a certain age. But let's not, the focus here is more what special provisions have been extended to folks in the thrift with regards to taking money out of the thrift, taxes and waiver of penalty and the like. And of course, there's always a form for something. So the IRS form is an 8915-E that would show the IRS when the tax return is filed that they wouldn't be subject to the penalty. With regards to the thrift, I understand there's another provision that says, well, you don't have to take it out all at once. You could take out, let's say you wanted to take out $9,000, and you could spread that payback $3,000 a year, or you could spread the distribution out $3,000 a year. So in other words, you wouldn't be forced to take out more than what you needed. So if you wanted, say, $9,000, but you know you could take it $3,000, $3,000, and $3,000, then the money that stays in there continues to grow. The need for the money is still going to be there, but the distribution is nice in the sense that you could do that. Now, this is just because of what we're going through with COVID-19. Do you find people, again, in the classes are aware of some of these special provisions, or they know they're there, but they're not, that's why they came to class, right?
Right now, I don't get that level of detail, a question in that level of detail to come up during the benefits portion, because I'm speaking about the general provisions. So the financial planners, and there, when you're teaching their section of our webinars, that's where those questions would typically come up, although I, again, based on my experience, would be shocked that a very substantial number of federal employees are aware of those details, particularly the 3-year rule I mean, you really have to be focused on the say, well, I could use that money, and then look into all the details, but otherwise I don't think they're generally aware.
And some other things, there's a period of time where you can go in and make changes to flexible spending accounts.
Right. Before we move on to flexible spending accounts, let me make one other general point about CST.
Sure.
That this is an area that people are unclear about. And, you know, the regular rules, which are still in effect, in terms of the what happens to a loan balance if you retire and you still owe a TST loan. And people don't realize that when they retire, they have two choices. They can repay the loan in full at retirement, or they can not repay the loan. But if they choose option two, not repaying the loan, then that loan is declared to be a taxable distribution. So the
and that means it's all taxable?
It's all taxable.
So that's for the listeners, that's steep, depending on the size of it, of course, but that's going to go right on top of all your other income. So we all pay taxes the same way. It's based on all our income minus certain deductions and the like. So everybody's in the same position. The only difference is some have more income or less income than others. So a penalty on top of that, that's harsh.
Yes. So there's and people aren't aware. They just don't know what happens to loan balance, I guess. There's some people think they can continue to be repaying it, and some people, the vast majority, have given no thought to it. But it is a real important factor to keep in mind in making that retirement decision. If you're going to retire and not have your loan paid off, you'd have quite a surprise next tax season.
And the point there then being, some people would say, well, why can't I pay it off over time? Well, the money came out of the thrift, so the thrift is then the enforcer to get the money back in. Where an IRA is different. So if you took money out of an IRA that was at a bank, if it's a financial institution, it's not the same rule. You could leave your job and still be liable to pay that money back. Whereas the thrift says, while you're a member of the club, so to speak, you're working, then before you go, this money's coming out, or coming back, if you will.
Right.
So
way or another, it's going to be accounted for.
Right. So then again, the point up again, I'm surprised sometimes. Now, usually these people know a lot more about what they do in life than what I do in life. But with regards to the irritant is the taxes. The traditional thrift, money coming out of your paycheck, you get a tax deduction. Roth is another story. But the traditional thrift, you got to understand that if you take it out, none of that money's ever been taxed. Whereas with a Roth, the money going in, you don't get any tax benefit. The benefit is when the money comes back out after a certain period of time, you never pay taxes on any of it. And again, why? Because you already pay taxes up front. So, these laws, when people hear them, they say, well, this is just not fair. You know, I didn't know that. Or it seems harsh that if I took it out earlier than anticipated, I would not only have to pay a penalty, but I might be young. I mean, be in law enforcement. And it could be a penalty there. They changed the penalty age for law enforcement and military and the like. So, the penalty is waived up until December 15th with regards to distribution, should there be a penalty, from the thrift. So the thrift put into play things that were employee-specific. The tightness wasn't as tight prior to, excuse me, the tightness was less tight after this, but before December 15th than what it was. And so it isn't necessarily an opportunity to get the money out because it's a little bit better tax-wise. It's probably never good to take it out unless you have to. So, and Ray, right. do people come to you when you talk about, I know you like talking about this, but do they come and say, I didn't know that?
Very often, that's a response is, I didn't know that. That's news. Or how long has that been true? I mean, now obviously, so the changes that were in response to the COVID outbreak, they are new, but sometimes the provisions that have been there for 30 years, it's still new news to a significant number of people.
All right. Now, there are some people, they call these people qualified people with regards to the CARES Act, with regards to the thrift, take money out. And, you know, what is a qualified individual? And that individual is somebody that's been diagnosed with the virus or the disease and by a test that was approved by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. What I'm trying to say here is it's just not you're going to go do it. And it could also extend if you have a spouse and or a dependent, if their demands were such that you had to take some money out of the thrift, then you could access it. But there would be a waiver of some of the penalties, if you will, that if it wasn't related to this virus, and it would be for somebody in your family that might have been quarantined, might have been furloughed or laid off, or had their hours reduced. Somebody that was unable to work for lack of child care, having to close or reduce hours of a business. Now, that could be, again, a spouse or a child with a business. So it has an impact on the federal employee. If there's a, let's hope this doesn't happen, having a reduction in pay or your side business income, and having a job offer rescinded or a start date for a delayed job. In other words, somebody might offer you a job after you interviewed, but that business maybe wasn't doing so well. I mean, this isn't the individual's business, but they went to work for somebody, then there could be a distribution, but the penalty is waived. Not so much the tax, but the penalty. Now, again, I think people are surprised or unaware of this, and it's not an incentive then to take the money out because they don't have to pay a penalty. But if you're in trouble, you welcome the opportunity to do it. So if you were to take all the money out prior to this unfortunate situation, you generally had to pay tax on it. Under the new situation, you could spread the payments out over 3 years, so it might be an equal amount. So again, going back to use that $9,000 example, they wouldn't have to pay the $9,000 back, but one-third, one-third, one-third over 3 years. Again, you still have to pay it back, but you don't have to pay it back all at once. What was, again, in class, are the class members surprised that they have these flexible opportunities that they never thought would exist, or just thought they maybe didn't even know that they weren't available prior to the changes?
Well, I think on some level they're surprised because they're changes. I mean, but again, we're living kind of in an environment where there's so many surprising things happening. Nobody expected that they'd be working full-time at home for months on end and all the other businesses that have been closed. So I guess they just, people kind of just think, well, this is another change. So while it's surprising in the general sense, nothing's surprising anymore because there's all these changes being made to accommodate or in reaction to changes forced on all of us by the pandemic.
Good point. And we're going to take a break in just a minute, but I'd like to say now this break is a commercial, if you will, for the NITP. What I mean by commercial, we don't sell anything. We sell retirement seminars to the government, never have sold anything else, don't ever want to sell anything else. But we present 2 and 3 day retirement seminars, sometimes half day, and generally, there's somebody like Ray for the first day, and they talk about federal benefits. And somebody might come in and talk about finance. Somebody might talk about tax. and then others might have a legal person come on, and we have one rule: you can't sell anything. So if people want to email, that's fine. But we've been doing this a pretty long time, and we have a nice website. So let's take a listen to the commercial, and I think people will be surprised what they can get. And again, nobody will ever call you.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here in the final third of this morning's show, and we're talking about TSP distributions, especially as it relates to the COVID-19 issues that we all are unfortunately aware of, and hopefully not that many actually experience it. It's interesting. I didn't see this earlier, but when I come down, people will email in questions and the like. And well, this was good. Good morning. I noticed your discussion points will not cover the COVID withdrawal options released in July. Shame on us, but I think we covered it. Would you please go over the TSP loan versus early withdrawal options during the COVID? So the TSP loan, correct me if I'm wrong, right? If we borrow money from the TSP, that's a loan. We pay it back, and we pay it with a very low interest rate. But again, from the economics, unless you need it, getting a loan just because it's got low interest rates takes the money out of the game. In other words, if it's not invested in the thrift rate of return, then you took the money out. That they can't pay a rate of return on money that's no longer there. And so the go ahead,
Ray. If I could add a point to that, that there's kind of a hidden double whammy in taking a loan, because people take the loan and then they repay it, and you repay it by payroll deductions, say, going into the thrift savings plan. You say, well, this is a good deal. But rarely do people then make those loan repayments above their usual contribution to TSP. In other words, their money that they would have normally been adding to their TSP, they're now just replacing the money they took as a loan. So they are kind of falling behind in the ongoing contributions that they would have been able to be making.
That's true. And we, Ray and I clearly understand somebody needs a loan. They need a loan. But sometimes I'll get questions in class, and they'll say, well, the loan on the TSP loans, the interest rate's very low. I can take it out and do something with it, reinvest it elsewhere. But the cost to get it out, unless it's a Roth, the cost to get it out is pretty high. Tax rates, you know, federal rates, I doubt anybody's going to listen to this show, or not many people know that they're squarely in the 15% bracket. The federal bracket's probably going to be higher. And then a state bracket might be on top of that. So, you know, taxes, without boring you to death with tax rates, 20% of the money coming out, kind of sort of at a minimum, that's a pretty big hit. And it's hard to make that back up. And if you need the money, it's another story. So, Ray, what over the years, when you talk with folks, I know you don't do the financial planning, nor do I. But they might come up and say, well, you know, if I get this, it's easy for me to borrow the money from the thrift, and I can kind of pay it back, then it's easier for me to get a loan. Well, the first question is, can you do without whatever you're going to buy and not take a loan? Have you ever had that?
Absolutely. And course, I always preface the things by saying, I'm not a financial planner, but here's my non-professional, just based on my experience, which echoes what you just said, that it may sound like a good deal, the interest rate is low, but I mean, is this the way you want to go? Because your the thrift savings plan is a long-term retirement savings plan. It is not your piggy bank. And so is there another way that you could be handling that financial need or that financial desire that you have? As you said, if you need the money, well, then it is some assets available to you to tap in. But if there's an alternative, you're probably in the long term better off by using the alternative way of financing whatever the issue is.
That's true, too. And then the comment might be, well, I'll have to pay interest on the loan. Let's not talk about sky-high interest rates, but you have to pay interest. Well, somewhat with the thrift, it's a little bit the reverse. There's less money making interest, maybe more importantly, dividends or capital gains. And that percentage that they're losing is substantial and it's pretty hard to make up for it. Unless it's just a real quick in and out loan for a month or so. But if it's for a while, you're taking, I liken it to taking logs out of a fire. The fire is not going to burn as brightly or as intense if you take the logs out. So the same is true for the distributions from the thrift. Again, I understand now with issues regarding COVID-19, there isn't an issue. You have to take it out. So have you had any creative thoughts with regards to people say, well, if I take it out, this is what I'm going to do with it. After I'm going to take a piece out that I really need, but I'm going to take some more out because I think I can do better with buying X and selling it at Y price. Ever get that?
I really haven't had discussions with people talk about alternative investment strategies. Occasionally, some of them will just mention that they're not participating in TSP because they think they can do better by investing directly in X. The people, maybe during the financial planning sessions, people want to discuss alternative plans, but if I'm benefits focused, we don't tend to get into the kind of abstract philosophical investment strategy ideas.
Good, because I shy away from that myself. Because I know somebody's going to come in and talk about it, or they already came in and talk about it, because they know better how to respond to those questions. We talked earlier.
I'm in the good position is almost always the benefits section is in the beginning, and people ask any of those questions, I can just punt and say, well, financial planner's coming tomorrow. You can talk to the financial planner about that.
And actually, the course is designed to have Ray, or one of his cohorts, talk about federal benefits. I think that's what people come, and it's really the bedrock to build from the other one. So when a tax person comes in, or a financial planner comes in, or an attorney comes in, they've laid the groundwork to understand their benefits better, such that if they would be impacted by finance or tax decisions, then they have a better handle on it than if then benefits came in on the second or third day. Plus, they know a lot more about benefits than I do, so they generally have their questions answered. Now, they clearly won't know more about benefits than you do, but in my case, being an accountant, no. But it's nice too to help the people that they're not aware of like distributions from the thrift, like what we're talking about here. In the case of an emergency, they're not necessarily aware that there is a provision to get the money out and maybe spread the payment back over a period of time. So it's not like a payday loan. Also, some people are unaware of the significance of the tax benefit, whether it's a traditional TSP or whether it's a Roth TSP. So if I'm not mistaken, a traditional TSP, the money comes out, maybe goes into a traditional IRA, but when it loses that protective environment, in other words, inside of the TSP or inside of an IRA, and it comes out, You know who's going to be at the front door, and I'm not saying anything about the tax folks, but that's, you know, the money's been in there and hasn't been taxed, and it's made money. And the idea was to foster the investment side, but eventually you're going to pay taxes on it. And it's certainly the same with regards to the traditional thrift. That money, when it comes out, it's going to be tax deductible, which is great. But eventually, maybe 70 and a half, where you're going to have to start to pay taxes on it. Or you can just do up front and say, no, I want a Roth thrift, or I want a Roth IRA. You forgo the tax benefit, but you also forgo the requirement to pay taxes on the distribution. So where do you find, when you talk about that, and I know you probably mentioned that, where do you find that people go, really? Or how can I do this now? Or maybe I didn't do it before.
Well, people do ask questions about which one is better. You know, what should I do? And that's the area where I then punt the ball and say, well, ask that question tomorrow. But, there's counterbalance. Like most financial decisions, it's you're weighing pros and cons, and there are pros and cons on both sides, and you have to decide your specific situation with where the which side wins. But the bottom line, though, is you should be investing in something, you know, making the choice between the Roth or the traditional, or splitting the money any way you want. You're not committed to 100% Roth or 100% traditional. You could make any balancing act that meets your individual financial plan. But the important thing is to have a plan, not to just be kind of winging it.
Okay, and invariably people will have questions when they listen to this, and we don't take calls for one reason. Sometimes the person on the phone could monopolize, you know, half hour of the show, and we're here to impart the info. But should you have questions, you can go to our website, nitpinc.com, nitpinc.com. And remember, you can't buy anything because we don't sell anything. So you could ask the question, and if in particular you want Ray to respond, say, gee, I got a question from when Ray was on the radio. Is that good for you, Ray, if they go directly to NITP?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, and the same for me. So you can ask it tax questions, you can ask it benefit questions, and we'll have a financial planner on here, I'm sure, in another week or two, and actually some attorneys that come in. And again, if you want to just go to the site, go to the site. We don't track anything. We won't get you to try to buy anything, because you can't buy anything from NITP. It's just a seminar, and the agencies pay for that. And we're happy to answer the questions, but you got a Q&A section in there. We write articles, and they go in there each month. So it's a nice source of information. Right, and in the closing minutes, I guess we got about, 8 minutes left? Andrew says 8 minutes. So give or take, he says. All righty. So, Ray, what are some of the questions that you were asked that you remember today that maybe were asked of you 8, 10 years ago, and you just thought to yourself, with no disrespect to the person, gee, I thought that was common knowledge. And with regards to the complexities of benefit, it isn't common knowledge because it's so detailed.
Well, there could be almost anything. There's essentially there's no area that people don't ask questions that can be surprising. You know, kind of, how did you not know that? How were, like in a pre-retirement class, how were you a federal employee for 30 years and you didn't know you could retire at a certain age, or you didn't know there's there's always somebody who doesn't know what you consider to be the most fundamental facts.
Yeah, I get it. The most common that I'm a little surprised is with regards to distributions from a traditional IRA, or more importantly, a traditional thrift, that you have to pay tax on whatever comes out. And they go, well, why? That was part of the deal that I wouldn't pay tax. And I go, well, the deal lasted as long as you were in service. when you leave service, you don't have to take it out right away. You might wait till 72 to start to take some out. But remember, none of that money's ever been taxed inside the traditional IRA or the traditional thrift. Never. And they go, well, what if I was to pass? Who would pay taxes on it then? Well, that one's a whole nother story, but somebody's going to pay taxes on it. It might be the beneficiary. It might be the estate, et cetera. But what I'm trying to put in the spotlight is the Roth. A lot of us can't afford to do Roth, though, because what I mean by that is, yeah, we can afford to spend it, but we can't afford to do with that much money out of our pay and with no tax benefit. So a traditional thrift, the money, I get a tax benefit out. The money's gone, but it's not all gone because I got the tax benefit. Roth, that's not the case. Money goes in, you pay taxes on it without any deduction. But again, it's your decision to pay taxes on it later or sooner.
Well, COVID experience has changed the world for all of us, but it hasn't changed the need to be thinking about your benefits, so, you know, including the Thrift Savings Plan, you know, the FEHB. And during open season, you know, we've had an experience, and some people might say, well, I wish I had done something differently, that I was in a different health plan, or I put more money in my flexible spending account. You know, we do have an open season every year. You know, and this might be a good opportunity for people to not just let the open season roll by without giving any thought to it, but actually assess what happened during the last year, and do I want to rearrange some of my elections to be better prepared if next year turns out to be a surprising year like this one was.
Okay, Ray, I think we're going to end it on that. Thank you. Andrew's happy. He doesn't have to cut us off. And thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.